Now, I'm delighted once more to be joined by Sylvia Kent for our regular book club feature. And Michelle being away again, this is going to be a bit of a habit, isn't it?
Yes.
How are you?
Well, I'm very well, thank you.
And you've brought with you today Roger Robinson, who, apart from being a retired Metropolitan Police officer, is a bit of a Laurel and Hardy fanatic. Actually, more than a bit, I'd say, wouldn't you?
Yes, I think so. my wife would agree with you, Scott.
But before we get down to putting Roger on the spot, you better fill me in on all that's going on. I think there's a lot going on with you at the moment, isn't there?
Well, yes, there is.
Come on, then.
Writing and reading and so on, and that's the title of my blog. Yes, we've had the 100th commemoration day for Billericay's Zeppelin. You've probably read about it in the paper, but we had a superb weekend. We entertained Sir Freddie Sowry,
right.
His father was the airman who shot down the Zeppelin. It wasn't a celebration, it's a commemoration.
Of course.
So, yes, and now we have a...
You didn't put one up and shoot it down, did you?
Oh, dear. Well, it took a long time to organise by our town council.
Yep.
But, yes, that was quite busy. Mm. And then... The day before, we had Mike, who's in the film. They've made a film of his life, Under the Radar.
Oh, yes.
Mike Edmonds was here with his producer, Simon Frith, a few months ago. And anyway, this was the West End premiere that we all went to.
And, all right.
That was the next day. Quite a lot's going on connected with Brentwood and Billericay. Mm-hmm. And Southend, because our friend over there is from Southend.
Oh, absolutely.
As you are.
Indeed.
Yes.
There's a lot of us from Southend.
Yeah, yeah. And regarding our reading, we are starting again Our Man in Havana.
Oh, yeah.
Graham Greene. And again, another guest here a year ago was Graham Greene's secretary, Mary Kenyon. Who was connected with Enigma, and
right.
Michelle wanted her back again because at 90-something, 94, 95, she was fascinating.
I can believe it.
So
where are you doing this, at the library?
We do it regularly at the Billericay Library.
Billericay Library,
Tuesday,
yeah.
Second Tuesday in the month,
mm-hmm.
at 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. And we've got a dozen readers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reading bit, the writing bit. I'm signing on Saturday morning at Barking.
All right.
My latest book, which is about Barking and Dagenham. And in the afternoon, we have the 75th celebrations of Brentwood Writers' Circle. How about that?
75th,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, we started... Well, I wasn't there.
No, just like
you
me, I wasn't at the Zeppelin.
Yeah,
but
you have to be careful what
yes,
you say.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, so we've got lots and lots of our members coming. There might still be a chance. There's a good lunch being offered as well. And there might be a chance, perhaps, to get in, get a ticket. But on the whole, yes, we're all reading. We're
good.
Writing, which is... what we like to do.
If you want to get a ticket, how would you do that?
Oh, perhaps give me a ring, or yes, we could give. Well, I could give out a telephone number now.
Right.
Let me see. I haven't got it here.
I put
at
you
moment,
on the spot.
But, yeah,
sorry.
You have.
It's my
no
not
problem,
a slap
but,
wrist.
Yeah. But,
slap
but
wrist.
You know, we meet at the Ursuline,
right.
And and my number is 01277 651 062. And I'm sure we could fit you in if you
good
wanted
stuff.
To come
right.
along.
Now, that book about Barking and Dagenham, is that the same one that you and I talked about? You came in here some little time ago and we talked about that. It's a very interesting book. That.
Yes. Well, it was released on the 50th anniversary. Again, all anniversaries of Barking and Dagenham being merged.
Right.
So they were no longer Essex towns, which they didn't like. But
they didn't like being Essex, or they didn't like
they,
being
they loved
merged.
Being Essex,
yes.
But they didn't want to be part of London, you see.
Well, I used to work in Barking, and I have to tell you that the address that we gave always was Barking Essex, so there you are.
Oh, and I think that's still the case.
Yeah.
So how silly is that? But anyway, they're lovely, and the do on Saturday morning is at the church where I was married, which yeah, so it was lovely.
Which church is that?
St. Margaret's in Barking.
In the little parking area as you go.
Yeah, and also James Cook was married there.
Indeed. Well, that was right opposite where our office used to be. They've pulled it down now. Yes. Not surprised that I was there.
Yes. But it's all very old and it's beautiful. I would think so.
You were married there?
Yes, 50 years ago. Yes, so... Age.
You don't look it. You don't look it.
Thank you.
I expect you did once.
I know that joke.
Yes, I know. I've done that one before. Okay, Roger, now we really got to put you on the spot here because you're a bit of a Laurel and Hardy fanatic, aren't you? Because to mention just a few of the activities you're concerned with the duo, you're not only a member of the Laurel and Hardy Appreciation Society, the Sons of the Desert, you are the editor and feature writer for the quarterly Laurel and Hardy magazine, The Periwinkle. You've written 3 books linked to them, and you also organise monthly meetings of the South End-based group Saps at Sea, which I assume is named after the 1940s movie with the same name, starring Laurel and Hardy. So come on, you've got to tell us what got you hooked on them.
Oh, well, a long time
ago. Can I just get you in a little bit closer to that, Mike?
A long time ago, being 67 years of age, I'm of the age where we used to go to Saturday morning pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we saw the serial and the cartoons, but it was always the old films, silent comedy films that I really enjoyed, and particularly Laurel and Hardy, so that was my introduction all those years ago.
Now, I confess to you that I, too, was hooked on Laurel and Hardy at that time, but I was never allowed to go to the Saturday morning cinema because my mother always claimed that I'd catch something.
Ooh.
even though she hadn't realised, well, she obviously hadn't cottoned on that if you went in the evening they probably hadn't cleaned the cinema. Anyway, I think I'm right in saying that it was the tour when they came to Southend, that was the tour that sort of really hooked you on it, did it not?
Yeah, just to summarise, Laurel and Hardy's career really began about 1927.
Mm.
And by the end of the 40s, they'd gone out of favour in America, and Bernard Delphont brought them over to tour the UK, top of a variety bill, and they came 3 times, 1947, 1952, when they appeared in Southend, and 1953 to 54. So it was the appearance in Southend that sort of sparked an interest for me, and I did a lot of research based around that, and hence the book arrived.
Which is called?
The book is called A Spot of Trouble in Southend. The Spot of Trouble was the name of the sketch that they did, 20-minute sketch, based upon one of their films called Night Owls.
Yeah.
And they were top of the bill, and the other acts on the bill included dancers, ventriloquist, a person doing animal impersonations, a whole variety. But the audience were there to see Laurel and Hardy, the film stars from America, actually appearing in their hometown on stage.
Incredible. Mm, absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about the book, because it's got lots of great things in it.
Yes, we're lucky enough that there were some photographs taken in Southend of Laurel and Hardy at the Palace Hotel where they stayed. So they obviously feature in the book. There are other photographs taken at the Odeon Cinema, which is now part of the college there. Mm. And through my research, I've uncovered some other photographs. Being interested in the supporting acts, I managed to trace some relatives and met with them. And they had a whole host of material which has never been published but is in the book now. Personal letters between the ventriloquist and the other acts to Stan and Ollie.
Right.
They all became personal friends. They were together for this period of time of 12 months touring, and it was an arduous tour. They were a week at each venue, travelled on the Sunday. They came to Southend from Bradford.
Mm.
They had a rehearsal on the Monday. There were 2 shows each night, an extra matinee on Wednesday and Saturday. And then they were off to the next venue, which was Coventry, followed after Southend.
It was a long tour. 12 months.
Absolutely.
And they were quite old by then, weren't they?
Well, they were. They were in their 60s, so it was hard work. But they enjoyed it, particularly Stan, who was English, born up in Cumberland, in Ulverston. And he was back on stage. He'd started his career on stage as part of the Fred Carno troupe, and they were pleased that audiences not only remembered them but welcomed them at their full houses wherever they went.
So I imagine they would have done at that time. Now, we just mentioned your involvement with the quarterly Laurel and Hardy magazine, The Periwinkle. I've got to ask you, how on earth do you find anything new to say about them on such a regular basis?
Well, it does seem strange you can still unearth some new material about the classic comedians, but now, fortunately, with the internet, there's still stuff that's coming to light. And I spend a lot of time, just ask my wife on the computer, finding bits and pieces and then going down avenues to sort of fill in the story. Mm. For instance, I was in the Cumbria at the Laurel and Hardy Museum there and saw a photograph I'd never seen before. And had one clue about the Laurel and Hardy photograph with two other people, one clue about who they were. Mm. Laurel and Hardy were in tartan kilts, so I knew it was taken when they appeared in kilts in Glasgow. Mm-hmm. One of them was holding a song sheet which says, Mother, come home, your mother wants you, something of that nature.
Right.
So I did a bit of research and found that these were the Yale brothers, and with a lot more research, I discovered that one of the brothers, two twins, are still performing in America.
And, really?
Yes, indeed. They have a blog site, and on the blog site there's a picture of that same photograph, but colourised. So I was very excited about that. So that will be the next sort of lead story on my magazine. So it's full of unusual material. I always try and find something unusual, something different.
And how is the magazine distributed? Is it a mail list or what?
Yes, it's a mail list. We have a big circulation in the UK and in Europe and in America. It's down to me to send it all out, but I enjoy it.
If someone wants to get on the mailing list for that, how would they do it? And how much does it cost?
Well, it costs £12 a year, including postage, so it's not expensive. I don't think that price has gone up in 12 years or so.
Right. Incredible.
So it's just a question of contacting me. I can give out my email address, roger.robinson5@btinternet.com, or my telephone number, 01702-526-187. Mm-hmm. Or if someone just taps in Saps at Sea, which is the name of our local group, Southend, they'll find our website there.
All right. Well, we'll put all that, of course, up on our website.
Thank you, Scott.
Can we just move on to the second book now, which was published a couple of years ago? What was all this all about?
I've mentioned that there's a Laurel and Hardy Museum in Ulverston, which was Lancashire, but they changed the boundary, so it's now Cumbria. Mm. A couple of years ago, I had some Americans over with me for a Laurel and Hardy UK convention, and they wanted to see some of the sites. So I took them up to the museum. And the museum is now run by the grandson of the founder, Bill Cuban. And I felt I wanted to do something to help the museum. Mm. And I thought, Roger, you like writing? Why don't you write about the man who founded the museum, who is larger than life, the wonderful Bill Cuban? And the book came out of that. Ulverstan is the title of the book.
Oh, right. And now you've come up with a third book. To Ron Ron, which sounds a bit like a Crystals record.
It is, I think, isn't it?
So what's the connection there with Laurel and Hardy?
The connection is To Do Ron Ron is a nickname, pet name for Ron Stokoe, who was the taxi driver that met Laurel and Hardy and their wives when they came to Southend Central Station and drove them to the Palace Hotel. Mm. He's now 90 years young. He's an extrovert character, larger than life. He engages in all the Laurel and Hardy activities. And he's led an incredible life. At the beginning of the war, he was evacuated with his sister up to Nottingham. Mm. And in 1946, he was old enough to be... 1944, rather, he was old enough to be called up. And within 6 months, he found himself on a boat, not knowing where he was going to, and he was sent out to India and didn't return home for 2 years. So, remarkable man. He'd started a taxi business before the war, came back and continued, and that's in 1952, that's how he came to pick up Laurel and Hardy.
Incredible.
And he worked at Echo Factory in Southend for a long time. So the book is about him as a sort of tribute to him, really.
Right. And have you got another one planned?
Oh, possibly. And it would probably be connected with Laurel and Hardy in a way. But, yeah, for the moment, I'll just sit back on my laurels and Hardys.
Oh, dear.
I've got a question. May I ask?
I wish you would.
How did they meet, these two chaps? So different.
That's a very good question. Stan was part of the Fred Carno troupe, which also Charlie Chaplin was part of that, went to America originally in 1910. Chaplin found fame and fortune almost immediately. It took Stan a few years longer, but he was determined to go back and, like Chaplin, go forward in his career in the film industry. And he did so, but by that time the film industry was on the West Coast rather than the East Coast of America.
Mm.
And Oliver Hardy, he'd started his career in Florida, in Jacksonville, as a big lad he was. He was the villain in all the films. And they ended up being at the same studio, the Hal Roach Comedy Studio, and they were working there, which there's a big pool of comedians. And someone one day said, why don't we try a little skinny Stan in the same film as Babe? Ollie's nickname was Babe.
Yes, it
and
was.
That's really how
yes.
it came together.
Yes.
So good questions.
And they got on. They got on.
Oh,
they
were the best of friends.
Yes. Yeah.
Unlike stories of other comedian duos, we hear of animosity and bad feeling. They had total admiration for each other and total respect.
Yes.
Stan Laurel never made another film with anyone else other than Oliver Hardy when the teaming started.
Mm.
And he allowed Ollie to make films, three other films, when he was under some contractual difficulties. Mm. So they were great, great friends.
When did they finally sort of break up or stop doing any performing together?
Well, Ollie became ill in 1954. He died.
So not long after they came
no,
here.
No, their last film was in 1951.
Yes.
Not a great film made out in France with different nationalities directing the film and illness played its part. That film's called Atoll K. They were subject to This Is Your Life back in America.
Mm.
Stan Laurel hated it, hated live TV, he wanted it all scripted.
Mm.
And then Ollie became ill, so some plans to go into television never quite materialised. Stan was offered lots of work by other up-and-coming comedians such as Dick Van Dyke and Jerry Lewis, but he retired out of respect for the Laurel and Hardy teaming. And he continued to write gags for Laurel and Hardy, even though they would never be used.
Mm.
And he lived in, you know, sort of contented, spent his days, you know, contentedly thinking about Laurel and Hardy.
Have you ever been able to get hold of any of those gags to print?
Well, they've actually been published in a book.
Oh, they have?
Oh,
yes.
Right. Yeah. Right. Another book?
Yeah. Another book, But not by you. Okay, well, look, thank you very much indeed, both of you, for taking the time out to come and see us today. And Sylvia, you'll be pleased to know, well, I hope I'm right in saying this time, that Michelle will be the person in charge of proceedings when you come in next time.
Right. Well, I'll still listen to you.
Will you really? Is that a threat?
I have a little radio set to this 98, so
right, well
yes,
done.
I shall listen. And you're doing very well, and thank you so much for bringing my friend on. And
our pleasure, believe me.
Yes, thank you so much.
All right, thanks very much indeed.